I want to preach a message to you tonight. It won't take too long, I promise. I know preachers usually lie about that, but I'm trying not to. Trying not to lie. If you could turn with me to Acts chapter number 9. And if you'd stand with me, I want to read for you the first 6 verses and then have a word of prayer. And we'll move on from there. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." This is obviously a very familiar event that's recorded in Scripture, the conversion of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, and one of the most effective, if not the most effective, missionaries ever to set foot on the face of the earth. And thank God for all that the Apostle Paul accomplished, and all that his efforts are continuing to bear fruit, as they continue to bear fruit even to this day. But I want to tell you, I want to draw a comparison for you tonight, and I want to get us to think about where we are and where we are in our Christian walk. And verse 1, "Yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord." Saul even called himself, I'll call him Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And I want to give you a little bit of background. If you'll flip back a couple of pages to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. It says, this is after Stephen had preached a very powerful message to the Jews. It says in verse 58 of Acts chapter 7, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." In verse 1 of chapter 8, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." He agreed with it. He thought it was the right thing to do. This man preached about Jesus Christ. He preached against the Jews' belief that Jesus Christ was not the Savior. He preached that he is the Savior. Saul was consenting unto his death. He thought it was right. He thought it was appropriate to kill this man. And as we read a little bit further, we see that the verse says, "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And if you'll follow me just a little bit to Acts chapter number 22. This is Paul preaching in his own defense, describing his own sin in his own words. And Acts chapter number 22 and verse number 4, Paul says of himself, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." And then a few more pages, if you'll go to Acts 26, 9 through 11. Paul says of himself, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them off in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." So we see by his own testimony, "I'm the chief of sinners. I did this, I did that." And we see he was consenting to the execution of Stephen. I want to tell you today that Saul was at a point in his life where he was all the way over here at an extreme. Okay? He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was persecuting anyone who named Christ as their personal Savior. He was willing to put them to death or to imprison them, even if it made orphans out of their children. He did not care who they were. He didn't care how many kids they had. He didn't care how many families he destroyed. He was all about executing everyone that believed on the name of Christ. Okay, sometimes I think we don't consider that as deeply as we should when he says, sinners of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the chief sinner. He was at an extreme, okay? He couldn't possibly go any further that way. He was already killing people that believed on the name of Christ, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the Lord. And there are people in the Middle East that still do this to this day, and possibly in other places I'm not sure of or unaware of, maybe in Africa. And they will do the same thing. They will execute anybody that names the name of Christ, if they can find them, if they can get their hands on them. And what do we call those people? We call them terrorists. We call them terrorists. So what was Saul? He was a terrorist. He was equal footing with these people today who would execute Christians. Now, when we look at these people who are executing Christians, when we look at the people who are hunting down those who would name the name of Christ, do we look at them and say, if only the Lord would save their precious soul, they could do so much for Christ? I don't think we typically think that to ourselves. We think other things, but I want to tell you today that God can save anybody. Jesus Christ's blood is sufficient for all, okay? And Saul was a terrorist, but my point in telling you this is to tell you that he was all the way over here at this extreme. He couldn't go any further. He was the worst of the worst, the scariest of the scary. And he understood that about himself and even confesses to it. But look what happened to him in verse number 6. Look what happened to him in verse number 6. And this is after he suddenly met Jesus on the road to Damascus. A meeting with Jesus changes things, okay? It says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know where he was at that point? He was all the way over here. He made it all the way. Couldn't go any further over here. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know what he did? He went all the way from that extreme, all the way to this, what I would call an extreme. Not my will, but thine be done. Have you heard that before? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? He was complete. He went from total defiance, okay, to complete surrender. From one extreme all the way to the other extreme. Now, if we look at this as a continuum, if you will, we need to figure out where we are today. Are we at this extreme, or are we over here somewhere? I don't know that anybody in this room, I'm sure they're not. There's no one over here on this position at this extreme. Absolutely no one. How do I know that? Well, I'm still alive, number one, and so are you. So that's pretty obvious that there's nobody right here. I haven't been stoned. I haven't been attacked or shouted down. There's no one at this extreme right here. But the question is this. How many of us are all the way over there where we should be? How many of us are all the way over here at this extreme where every day of our life we say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I have the absolute joy, contentment, satisfaction of knowing that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, that I'm exactly where He wants me to be. But even every day over here when I'm out and about, Lord, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do today? How would you have me to reach somebody for Christ today? We need to live a surrendered life, okay? Now, the world would say, hey, wait a minute, Saul. Wait a minute. You built a career over here. You've got authority over here. Over here, people tremble when you walk in the room. Are you willing to give all that up? You know, and the world would tell us today, if we got a big career, if we got power in the business world or something, that we need to hang on to that. We can't surrender that. Well, guess what Paul said? He said, never mind all of that. I don't care about any of that. He said, for the cause of Christ, he's lost everything, right? You remember that? He said, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to please the Lord. Never mind all of that authority, all of that highfalutin business I was in, and authority from the chief priest and all that. Woo, big deal. He said, I don't care about any of that. I want to serve the Lord. You know what he did? He met Jesus. How long did it take him to move from one extreme to the other? 6 verses. How long is that in King James? I don't know. Is it 5 minutes? Or is it 15 minutes? Or is it half an hour? Is it 50 minutes? I don't know. But it didn't take very long. What's the holdup for us? What's taken us so long? Where are we on this, I guess, continuum is the best word I can think of. I'm not over here, no sir. But am I all the way over there where I should be? Am I living the life that I should live? I heard in song tonight, Christ arose. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. That's a glorious hymn. We sang so many glorious hymns tonight. I'm excited already. But this is where we need to live our lives, right here. Now, I'm so thankful I was gloriously saved at the age of 7. And then when I was, a 12, 15 years old, I told God I would go anywhere and do anything. And it was when I was 47 that that opportunity came. And I was able to do that and prove to Him He's number one. And I'll just leave it all behind and go wherever you want me to go. He gave me an opportunity. But you know what I was trying to do all along the way? I was trying to live a life that was pleasing to Him, that was surrendered to Him. When I got an opportunity to do something, like teach a Sunday school class or go soul winning or go to the prison ministry, I was willing to do that. I had a heart for the things of God. I wanted to serve Him. I wanted to please my Lord. I want to try to live right here every day of my life. And what did Paul do after that day? We know what he did. He started churches. He wrote half of the New Testament. And we still study and depend upon. He wrote half the New Testament, part of the Bible. Who cares about all that authority he left behind? Who cares about that reputation he left behind? Who cares about those so-called friends he left behind? Never mind all that. I want to live over there. What happened to him? Did he live a charmed life? I don't think it was a charmed life. Let's look real quick. I think it's 2 Corinthians 11. I don't know if you could call this charmed. 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Did everything just go perfectly right in his life? No, it did not. Let me help you with that. That's not perfectly right. That's not going perfectly right. But you know where he was? He was right in the center of the will of God. He was living right over here. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Where would thou have me to go? What message would you have me to preach? What church? Where would you like me to start a church? He was right here so he could go through all of that. And then say, godliness with contentment is great gain. He could say, I'm content. I'm happy. I'm full of joy. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. How could he do that in these circumstances? Because he lived right here at this extreme. And what did he write to us? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You ask him after all of these difficulties that he had, the physical pain that he was in, and the suffering that he went through, he'd tell you he's content. There was a time he was listening in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, toward the end. He was listing a number of prayer requests for other people. And then he said, as for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That was his prayer request. He could have said, pray for me for this or that or the other, this ailment or whatever it might be. And those prayer requests are perfectly okay. And he had plenty of opportunity. But what he did was, he said, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want more. I'm going forward. I want more. And if we look at Acts chapter 20, I love this. I love all of this, but this is just really special. Acts 20 and 22. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. See, he couldn't tell what was lying ahead. Except this, he says, verse 23, say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But, look at this, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know why he would say things like that? Because he lived right here. I don't know what's going to happen. I know there'll be trouble. The Holy Spirit told me there's going to be trouble wherever I go. Bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Where are you on the line? What has knocked you off course? Elijah said it one time, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between these two extremes? You know where the devil wants you? And it bothers me that the pulpit is right here in the middle too, because I don't want it to be an example of anything. But if you're lollygagging around in the middle, what are you? You're not cold. You're not hot. But you're also not productive. You're right where the devil wants you to be. If you're lukewarm. What did Christ say about being lukewarm? I'll spew you out of my mouth. Where are you today? And how long have you been there? What's the holdup? Why are you not over here? I can personally testify, this is where the contentment is. This is where the assurance is that you're doing the right thing, that God is has you right there in that spot and for a reason. I know I'm where God wants me to be. And He knows that I'm willing to do whatever He wants me to do. Whatever He wants me to do. I belong to Him. He paid full price for me. He didn't get me at a discount. I'm bought by the blood of the Lamb. I belong to Him. Paul wrote also this. He said, I just remembered it in Croatian. That doesn't do you any good. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's he saying? You ought to be right here. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You ought to live right here. And he said, that's where I live. I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's an example of that. So Paul went from all the way from that extreme all the way to there, and he stayed there. So where are you at along the way? How long have you been there, and what direction are you going? Are you drawing back? Have you been struck by illness or a tragedy in the family or some other circumstance that's taken you away from the position where you should be? It happens. We're human. Something bad happens in our life or a tragedy comes our way, we can withdraw and not be given wholly unto the Lord. But we need to recognize today that right here is where we need to be. Right here. Hey, I want to, the government may have redefined extremist, okay? But I want to be an extremist for Christ. I want to live for Him. Hey, people dress up funny and wear goofy makeup for a football game or something. We call them a fanatic. Well, hey, I'm a fanatic for Jesus Christ, okay? I'll do anything He wants me to do. Go anywhere He wants me to go. I want to live in this extreme position. I don't ever want to leave it. Because that's where the contentment is, the joy, the assurance that you're knowing what you're supposed to do. None of these things move me. What moved you off course? What moved you backward? Can we dismiss those things today? Can we get over them today? Can we get the help from the Lord that we need to get right back to where we're supposed to be? And say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? I want to belong to You 100%. Not holding back, no reserve, and there'll be no regret. I'm going to live right here.